So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 7, verse 32. Verse number 32, is it? Okay. So I'll read the verses 30, 31, and 32. So verse 30 is translation. No one can properly describe Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's affection for his devotees. He always tolerated all kinds of personal unhappiness resulting from his acceptance of the renounced order of life. Verse 31, translation. The regulative principles observed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were sometimes intolerable, and all the devotees became greatly affected by them. Although strictly observing the regulative principles, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not tolerate the unhappiness felt by his devotees. And then we have text 32. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Therefore, to prevent them from accompanying him and becoming unhappy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared their good qualities to be false. Purport. The Lord wanted to tour all the places of pilgrimage alone and strictly observe the duties of the renounced order. It's just a one-line purport. That makes the task of the speaker very difficult. So, I must also confess that I actually prepared for Adi Leela, chapter 7. So, when I looked at the verse, I was wondering whether it's the right verse, but it must be. So, just bear with me. I've got no references. So Madhya Leela, chapter 7, is describing how Lord Chaitanya began his tour of South India. So we know just before this, in the previous chapters, we would have seen how Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. And once he took sannyas, he wanted to quickly go to Puri. But instead of going to Puri directly, he had to take a detour because Lord Nityananda tricked him and took him to the house of Advaita Acharya. And in Advaita Acharya's house, Mother Sachi was very, very distraught. In fact, she pleaded him not to leave. And Lord Chaitanya was surrounded by Advaita Acharya and so many other wonderful Vaishnavas. They were all wanting him not to leave. Nonetheless, the Lord left. And he left. Not only did he leave, but the description in the Madhya Leela, I believe it is the earlier part of Madhya Leela, probably chapter 3 or 5. The description is that the Lord left and he did not even turn back. The Lord left nirapeksha, which means he had no desire to even look back at his mother. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he writes that from a mundane point of view, this might be very cruel. That he circumambulated his mother, pradakkhina kori, I don't remember the verse, but it says pradakkhina kori, after doing a circumambulation of his mother, he bowed down to her and just left. So when he reached Puri with his associates, he was there for some time. He delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya first, and he was there for Dola Yatra, and then in the month of Phalgun Chaitra Vaishak. So in the month of Vaishak, in the month of Phalgun, he took sannyas, he went to Puri. So in the month of Vaishak, which is the third month, the new year, he decided, I will now go to South India. But how could he just leave? So he had to give some reason. So he told his associates, my brother, Vishwaroop, he left us when I was young. And I know that he went to South India with a sannyasi. So I will go and find him. The reality is that Lord Chaitanya knew that Vishwaroopa is no longer on the planet. He had left. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that he had attained Siddha Gati, which means he had already gone back to Godhead. Even though he knew on the pretext of trying to find his brother, he wanted to go to South India. And his associates were very, very sad that he would leave them. Mahaprabhu put a condition. He said, I will go to South India, but I shall go completely alone. There should be no one accompanying me. Now, when we think of Mahaprabhu's characteristics, he cannot tolerate any disturbance or any offense towards his devotees. Like with Jagga and Madai, Lord Nityananda was offended, and we know how Mahaprabhu reacted, and so many other instances. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu had a different side. He could be very, very hard with his devotees. And sometimes he would be so hard that devotees just couldn't take it. And this is one example of that. This is an example where Mahaprabhu is saying, Kaviraj is saying, Gune doshodghara chale shabanishadhya. He stopped everyone. And he found faults in their qualities. Where there were good qualities in devotees, he said, these are your faults. I'll give one example. Ekaki brahmiben tirtha bairagya koriya. Ekaki brahmiben. He will go alone. Ekaki means alone. Because you are full of fault, I cannot accompany you. Mahaprabhu is telling, for example, he told Nityananda Prabhu, I respect you deeply and I can never disrespect your orders. However, just see how you behave with me. First, you trick me and take me to Advaita's house. Then when I'm in Puri and I want to go to find my brother, just before that, you take my sannyas danda. And there's a beautiful river in Puri, if you go to Puri. Tribhanganada, which is the river where the sannyas staff of Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu took sannyas from a Mayavadi sannyasi, he had one danda. So Nityananda Prabhu broke it into three pieces and threw it in the river. He said, you don't need this one danda. And he threw it. So Mahaprabhu was saying, just see, you cause so much disturbance and anxiety for me. How can I accompany you all? So he started finding fault. And in Damodar is my personal servant. He's a brahmachari. And he constantly loves instructing me. How is a brahmachari meant to instruct a sannyasi? Of course, Damodar was doing out of love. Nityananda Prabhu was doing out of love. But this way he went on finding faults. And ultimately he said, so you all stay here. Nityananda Prabhu, he thought, well, this is a difficult situation. What do we do? So Nityananda Prabhu said, but Mahaprabhu, I insist on one thing. When you go to South India, at least carry one pair of clothes, your kopin and your cloth and carry a water pot. At least carry a water pot and copen and cloth. One pair. So Mahaprabhu said, yes, okay. He said, but there is a problem. If you have to carry a water pot in one hand and your clothes in another, how will you chant Hare Krishna? How will you chant? Because Mahaprabhu's method of chanting was, with one hand he would chant, he would count, he would chant the names of Hari. With the other hand he would count how many rounds he has done. So Nityananda Prabhu said, both your hands are engaged. One for chanting, the other for counting number of rounds. So your hands are not empty. So you need a servant. So this simple brahmachari, Krishnadas, Kala Krishnadas, take him with you. And if you take him with you, he will not disturb you. I promise he will not open his mouth. Please, consider this. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, I shall take him with me. So he took Kala Krishnadas and he went to South India, and we all know what happened to Kala Krishnadas. He got diverted with the Bhattari women. These are tribal people who dance and in the forest, they live in the forest. And when they have hunted some animals, they feast, and while feasting, all the women, they dance around they're eating the meat of the animal and the women are dancing. And Mahaprabhu was passing through the forest, and Kala Krishnadas, he saw one woman, this aborigine women dancing. And because they are not dressed properly, he got very attracted and he started going after that woman, and Mahaprabhu had to personally grab him back. Hey, come, you are here to serve me. So actually Mahaprabhu was very seemingly hard-hearted. He said, I don't want any of you. All your qualities, doshodgara. Doshodgara chale, gune doshodgara chale. He found fault in qualities. In the love of the devotees, he found fault. He said, no, you're not needed. So, why is that? So, in Madhya Leela, this is my quick on-the-spot preparation, so just bear with me. In Madhya Leela, we have one very nice verse here, where it is said that who can understand Mahaprabhu's mind? For that matter, who can understand the mind of great souls? Mahanubhaber chittera swabhava ei haya pushpa sama komala katina vajramaya. Mahanubhaber, one who is self-realized, chittera swabhava ei haya. This is their nature. What is their nature? Pushpa sama komala. They are as soft as a pushpa, as a flower. Kathina vajra maya. But they can be as hard as a thunderbolt at the same time. Soft as a flower, but hard as a thunderbolt. And this is the nature of great souls. And who can understand that nature? And just the very next verse is quoted here. Vajradapi kathorani mruduni kusumadapi. Vajradapi kathorani, more hard than a thunderbolt. Indra's thunderbolt is so hard, vajra, that even before it strikes, just by the heat of that vajra, the diamond is the most hard of hard. You know, of all the stones, diamond is the hardest. Diamond starts melting. Diamond never melts. But vajra is so hard that even before it strikes. And the heart of a great soul can be harder than vajra. Vajradapi kathorani, mruduni kusumadapi, softer than a kusuma, softer than a lotus flower. Lokottaranam chetansi, those who are above this worldly matters, that person's heart, konu vidnatum arhati. Who can understand their heart? This verse is taken from one Nataka of Bhavabhuti. Bhavabhuti was a great poet. He had written a Nataka, a play on, anyone knows the name? Uttara Rama Charita. The nature of, no, it is Ramottara Charita. The nature of Lord Ram. He has written a play on the nature of Lord Ram. This verse is from there. This verse is spoken by Vasanti, who is a goddess of forest. And the episode is that after Mother Sita was, well, after Ravana was killed, Lord Ramachandra comes to Ayodhya with Mother Sita. And what happens? Do they live peacefully ever after? Happily ever after? There is an accusation. Accusation from a washerman. He's saying to his wife, since you have been to another man's house, I cannot accept you. I'm not like Ram, who will accept a woman who has lived in another man's house. Sita has lived in Ravana's house. I can't accept Sita. He can accept Sita. I can't accept you. And Lord Ramchandra, when he finds out, he does Agni Pariksha of Sita Devi. Agni Pariksha is when Sita Devi is, she goes through fire to prove her chastity. That if I've ever thought of anyone other than Ram, then let me burn. And of course, fire doesn't touch her. There is another reason this Agni Pariksha happens. Anyway, this we will go in a different direction. But in that episode, Vasanti, who is the goddess of the forest, she's asking Atrei in that conversation, in this drama of Bhavabhuti. When we were children, we learned these as part of our training in grammar and literature. We would learn different natakas. So this is one very beautiful nataka. So there, Vasanti is saying, the goddess of forest is saying, who can understand the heart of these great souls? Rama, who loved Sita so much that he ran after the deer. He ran after the deer to get the deer. The same Ramachandra, he is now willing to give up Sita for the sake of some comments of some ordinary person. Who can understand? And then Vasanti asks Aitreyi, what is Ramachandra doing now? And Aitreyi says, well, he is now doing Ashwamedha Yajna. And she says, well, he is doing Ashwamedha Yajna, but who is sitting beside him? And Aitreyi says, a golden statue of Sita is sitting. So Vasanti says, but Sita Devi is right here in the ashram of Valmiki. And yet, he's sitting with a statue of her. He could very well reunite with her. So like that, the discussion is, this is the context of this particular verse, which is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Kaviraj. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. But this particular nature we find not only in the Lord, but also we find in the devotees of the Lord. Of being as soft as a flower, but as hard as a thunderbolt. We find that when Akrura came to take Krishna away, the gopis are describing Akrura they are describing Krishna. And what are they describing Krishna as? Anardrita Chetaha. The verse begins, I don't remember the whole verse, but the verse begins with these words. Anardrita Chetaha. Look at this Krishna who is leaving us. He is anardrita. Ardrita means one who is very soft and gentle. Anardrita means hard. Srila Prabhupada translates hard-hearted Krishna. He is so hard-hearted, we have given our lives to him. And he has fooled us by telling us, na parayeham, I shall never be able to repay you for your love for me. And here he is, going away. This is him. So we find Lord Krishna is also behaving in a hard-hearted manner, apparently. Another beautiful verse in the Brahmara Gita, the song of the bumblebee. Radharani says, actually, Srila Prabhupada describes in the Krishna book very beautifully. Srimati Radharani is telling the bumblebee, you go away. Don't come and linger around here. Why? Because your Lord, whose messenger you are, he is the most unreliable and ungrateful and hard-hearted. How come? So Srimati Radharani says, just see, when he appeared in his previous incarnation, this Lord of yours, Krishna, when he appeared in his previous incarnation as Ramachandra, he was so hard-hearted. Just like an ordinary hunter would hunt an animal from behind the bushes and trees. Similarly, instigated by Bali's brother, Bali the monkey, or Vali sometimes he's called, instigated by Vali's brother, who was Vali's brother? Sugriva. Instigated by Sugriva, he shot at Vali and killed him, just like an ordinary hunter would kill an ordinary animal. He was so hard-hearted, he had no, as a Kshatriya, he should have challenged Vali face to face, but he didn't do that. Not only that, he's so hard-hearted that when a beautiful girl approached him, proposing him to get married, who was that beautiful girl? Surpankha, the sister of Ravana. What did he do? Blinded by the love of his own wife, this hard-hearted man, he chopped off the nose and the ears of this beautiful lady. Radharani is saying to the bumblebee, this is how hard-hearted he is. He should have just married her. It was an open proposal. Not only that, what to speak of Ramachandra in his previous incarnation, previous to Ramachandra, he came as a little boy, disguised as a little boy, Vamana. And he begged for 3 steps of land. What did he do? He ended up grabbing everything from Bali Maharaj. And in the end, Bali Maharaj offered his very self. He said, put your third foot on my head. And in return for offering Atma Nivedanam, his own self, what did he do? He bound him up and threw him in Rasatala. What kind of ungratefulness? And Radharani says, Dvang Shavat, just like a crow. She's very angry, so she's having this. Anyway, in Ujjwala Neelamani, there are different, we will digress, but there are different kinds of jalpa, you know. Speaking in love, out of being maddened in love, So Radharani is speaking like that lovingly. But just like a crow, meaning generally a crow, if you try to feed a crow with something, the crow will take the piece of, say if you are feeding him a little bread, he will eat the bread also and he'll bite your finger also. Both. So the acharyas have explained, Radharani is saying Krishna is so hard-hearted. Here we see Mahaprabhu is so hard-hearted. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada, here as the verse says, Srila Prabhupada was also apparently very hard-hearted sometimes. Sometimes with people outside and sometimes with his own disciples. I'll give you some examples of Srila Prabhupada's apparent anger and hard-heartedness like that. So once in Pandal program in Delhi, there was a huge crowd, 20,000 people, and organizers were there and some very top dignitaries from Delhi. Delhi is the capital of India. So some top dignitaries were visiting and they were all on the Pandal sitting. Srila Prabhupada was seated there. And after he had finished speaking in the evening, one hippie who happened to be in the Pandal, he had long hair, he had leather boots and a shiny jacket, and he was wearing around his neck, he was wearing a Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh photograph. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva photograph. And he tried to get on the stage. So the devotees grabbed him and pulled him down. But he again tried, and Prabhupada noticed the commotion. And Prabhupada signaled, let him up. So this hippie came up on the stage, 20,000 people are listening. And Prabhupada told his disciples, give him the mic. So the hippie got the mic. What is your question? Prabhupada asked. So the hippie said, have you realized your deep self? Have you realized your soul? And Srila Prabhupada immediately answered, yes. The hippie was confused. What else to say? So then he said, I have another question. You said in your class that the Bhagavad Gita is 5,500 years old. But I have heard from other professors that it is only 1,500 years old. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, you answer my question. You answer my question. How do you gain the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita? Because Prabhupada had given the class that Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita can only be gained through pariprasnena, paripatena, sevaya. You have to serve the spiritual master. And in parampara, evam parampara praptam, imam raja shayavaduhu, you can gain only in parampara. This is what Prabhupada had given in the class. But Prabhupada asked him, you answer my question. And the hippie said, no, you answer my question first. I asked you the question first. So you can imagine 20,000 people sitting and there is this fight going on. And Prabhupada said, I will not answer. I'm not your servant. I'm Krishna's servant. You answer my question first. So there was this. And somehow, you know, the devotees thought this is getting too much. And the dignitaries, they started leaving. Some people in the crowd also started leaving because they thought this is going out of control. So later on, Prabhupada explained, and actually Yadubara Prabhu, Giriraj Maharaj, and several others, I've heard this from Giriraj Maharaj. He explained that Prabhupada actually wanted to practically demonstrate what he had spoken in the class. He said in the class how Bhagavad Gita should be received. He said in the class how Bhagavad Gita should be received in parampara. However, The way this hippie was behaving was exactly the opposite. This is exactly how Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood. So to demonstrate that point, Prabhupada actually allowed him on the stage. But we can't understand Prabhupada. We could misunderstand him. Why did he do that? Once Prabhupada gave a class in which he emphasized how everyone should memorize the Sanskrit verses pakka, properly. And unless you are a serious devotee, if you're a serious devotee, you should memorize some verses. Especially the standard prayers should be memorized very well. So there was one devotee who took it very seriously. He's a brahmachari, his name was Vishala Das. And he had a very interesting way. When Prabhupada was around, he would stand in the corridor, knowing exactly that Prabhupada is going to pass here. And he would stand in the corridor and with his eyes closed, he would start chanting, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya, loudly chanting mantras. And Prabhupada would pass without noticing him. And it happened almost every day. And he would look with his eye, oh, Prabhupada is coming. So he would close his eyes and start chanting. And Prabhupada was passing by. And he said, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Prabhupada is passing. And Prabhupada stood there. He thought Prabhupada would have left. But he opened his eyes. Prabhupada was still there. And he was still chanting the mantra. Maam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. Prabhupada stopped him, looked at him, and he was frozen. And he thought that he was doing the right thing. Prabhupada said, memorize the verses. Prabhupada looked at him and said, why don't you do something useful? Go and sweep the floor. So sometimes you think you are impressing Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, there was another personality, Akshayananda Swami. He always has, if you listen to the morning walks, they have a very interesting, Prabhupada has a very interesting dialogue with Akshayananda Swami. Once Srila Prabhupada called the meeting of all the devotees who were involved in financing and constructing the project in Vrindavan and Bombay. Both very dear projects to Prabhupada. Three projects, Mayapur, Vrindavan and Bombay, very dear to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada called the meeting, all the devotees gathered, and Prabhupada asked, we are gathered here to get some practical solution to this business of overspending. Akshayananda is overspending here, and Surabhi is overspending there. There was another sannyasi named Surabhi Swami. He is overspending there and everyone is overspending and there will be no Lakshmi left. We have to find some practical solution. So what is your idea? He called all the leadership to ask them. So different devotees were giving some ideas. And Akshayananda Swami raised his hand and said, Prabhupada, the best way to stop overspending is to become Krishna conscious. And Srila Prabhupada immediately looked at him and said, that is the most impractical suggestion. That's the only time I've heard Prabhupada say, Krishna consciousness is the most impractical suggestion. We see when the spiritual master can be hard. See, we are all laughing, right? Can you imagine what happened to Vishala Das when he heard Prabhupada say, why don't you do something useful? You see, criticism and instruction, these two things, the Shastra say, are the most difficult to accept. If we get somebody instructing us something, we cannot take it generally. It's very difficult. And criticism is even more difficult to take. If somebody instructs us, our immediate reaction is, why are you telling me this? I know who you are. You have so many faults. If they criticize us, we dislike them. But the real way of dealing with these criticisms, another time, sometimes it may be like again with Akshayananda Swami. I remember one very nice, interesting discussion. Prabhupada is in a morning walk in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada is telling how Vrindavan weather can be so harsh. Sometimes it's cold, it's very, very cold in the winter, and it's very hot in the summer, extremes. Srila Prabhupada also said that in the winter, sometimes the cold is accompanied with rain, and it's unbearable. So Akshanand Swami immediately said, but Prabhupada, Vrindavan is the best of all places. Even if it rains stool and urine and pus and blood, we should still remain in Vrindavan. You've told us it's the best of places. Even if it rains stool and urine, we should remain here. Prabhupada looked at him and said, you were expecting that? Are you expecting that? That's what Prabhupada said. So, sometimes, even the outsiders would come, panditas. There were two pandits who came once to see Prabhupada. And they were scholarly, knowing the Puranas. One of them had memorized the entire Bhagavata Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. Very learned. He was sitting there with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, so, who is God? He's asking these two pandits, great Sanskrit pandit and Vedic pandit, who is God? And this pandit said, Swamiji, that's a very, very difficult question. It's a very long answer. We cannot discuss like this casually. Who is God? So you don't know who is God? Prabhupada said. So I said, no, Swamiji, we know who God is, but it's not such a simple answer. And then Srila Prabhupada asked one little boy from Gurukul who was there. His name was Leela Smaranam. He asked Leela Smaranam to come closer. And he asked Leela Smaranam, do you know who is God? And he immediately said, before the question finished, he said, Krishna is God. So Prabhupada told the pandits, just see, even a child knows who is God. And then the pandits said, Swamiji, he is just repeating something that he has heard. He doesn't really know. He doesn't really realize who God is. He doesn't really know. Immediately Prabhupada interrupted and said, even Krishna doesn't know he is God. He doesn't know. So like that, Prabhupada was very, very, and actually we will digress, but there are verses in Bhagavatam and so many places where there are indications that Krishna is behaving as if he is not God. We know so many times Krishna behaves like that. So Prabhupada could be very, very hard sometimes. There was another, I can't remember her name, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, she was a head pujari. And she probably, if Mother Vishakha was here, she would have known in Detroit. And she asked Prabhupada once that, Prabhupada, how do we cook for Krishna? What should we cook? How do we know how much to cook and what to cook? So Srila Prabhupada said, for Krishna, you must always offer him 10 puris, 8 chapatis, 2 kachoris, 2 pakoras, 2 sabjis. Like that he gave all the instructions. And then at the end he said, just cook for Krishna like you cook for a young man with a big appetite. That's how Krishna likes. So she understood. And then Prabhupada said, now I have taught you, and in parampara you teach others. You teach others. Now it's your responsibility. So she was very, very happy. And one of the other services she would do is, she would make the garlands for Srila Prabhupada. And just because it was hot in the summer, she would sprinkle the garland with water so that it's cooling. And when they would offer the garland, Prabhupada accepted it. Once, twice, thrice. And the fourth time when they offered the garland to Prabhupada, on the fourth day or whatever, Srila Prabhupada immediately looked at the garland, removed it in front of that Mataji, looking at her, and she said, "What have you done? What is this? Why do you put water in this? It is so displeasing." And he literally threw the garland. So I heard it from her. I can't remember her name right now. But she was saying how Prabhupada could be, while I was feeling like I have now been empowered by Prabhupada to, you know, be a Prabhupada representative to teach everyone the deity worship and how to cook for Krishna. Immediately Prabhupada crushed me. Yeah, he was so hard on me. So Srila Prabhupada could be very hard as well. So we see that actually Prabhupada was hard on all the managers generally. Anyone who was close to him received his fury. It was like tough love. You know what tough love is? You love someone, but it's so tough that the person has to really take it. It was hard to take. I was with Gurudas Prabhu. And I told him, what are your best memories? I asked him, what are your best memories of Srila Prabhupada? He said, "Oh, don't ask. He was one tough man to deal with." That was Gurudas Prabhu. Because Gurudas Prabhu, whenever he would, and he gave me one example. He said, when Guru Kripa Swami, when he went to Mayapur, for the Mayapur project, he collected $100,000. So he presented Prabhupada with a check of $100,000. You know, like we have done this Bhadra campaign and so many campaigns we do, book distribution, and we are making many offerings to Prabhupada. But Prabhupada could sense that real faint ego in his offering of $100,000. In those days, $100,000 is today's $1 million. So Prabhupada, Guru Kripa Swami presented the check. Prabhupada looked at it as if it was a piece of paper and he just put it aside. He did not even look at Guru Kripa Swami. And then he sat down. And after 5 minutes, he looked at Guru Kripa Swami and he said, "Why are you wearing that? Why is your dress so red in color? This is the dress of a Mayavadi. Are you a Mayavadi? You cannot wear." And Guru Kripa Swami was saying to Gurudas Prabhu, "Actually, all the other brahmacharis around me, their dress was much more brighter and much more redder than mine. But Prabhupada just picked on me." So Srila Prabhupada could sense. So sometimes it's tough love. And we see why Mahaprabhu did this to his disciples. There is another beautiful verse in Madhya Leela, chapter 7 itself, verse 109. It says, "Navadipe jai shakti na koilo prakashe. Se shakti prakashi nistarilo dakshina deshe." That navadipe jai shakti na koilo prakashe. That potency, that mercy that he did not distribute in Navadvip, that mercy he distributed in South India. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, what we call today as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, did not actually start in Navadvip. Of course, the roots were in Navadvip. But the real movement started. When anyone knows, when did the real movement of Mahaprabhu start? Started in? Anyone? Chand Kazi, yeah, Harinam started there. But the actual distribution of mercy, Nityananda Prabhu's prediction. Srivast Thakur's house, yes, even that ecstasies were, you know, Mahaprakash Leela and so many wonderful Leelas happened. However, the real distribution of mercy started with the South India Yatra. And the proof is right here. Verse 109. Translation I'll read. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest his spiritual potencies at Navadvip, but he did manifest them in South India and liberated all the people there. So Mahaprabhu's movement started with this South India Yatra. In fact, we see in chapter 7, verse 82, you know, when Mahaprabhu started to go to South India, when he started the South India journey, it is then and then only, please listen carefully, it is at that point that Nityananda Prabhu said some words which are most profound, most profound. Mahaprabhu, he was dancing and chanting, and as with dancing and chanting, he was saying, Shri Krishna Gopal, Keho Nache Keho Gai, Shri Krishna Gopal, Premete Bhashila Loka, Stri Vridha Abala, Stri Vridha and Abala. Yeah, from young children, women and old, everyone was immersed in the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So before Mahaprabhu went to South India, he goes to Alalnath, because you know all the devotees want to see him in Alalnath. So he goes to Alalnath and then he leaves. And from that point nobody sees him. He's alone. He's with Kala Krishna Das. But Mahaprabhu, just before he leaves, Nityananda Prabhu, seeing Mahaprabhu dancing and chanting, now listen carefully. This prediction is being made by Nityananda Prabhu. It is text 82 of Madhya Leela chapter 7, the same chapter we are discussing. Dekhi Nityananda Prabhu kohe bhakta gane. Seeing Mahaprabhu chant and dance and immerse everyone in love of Godhead. Dekhi Nityananda Prabhu seeing this, kohe bhakta gane, he told all the bhaktas, he declared, what did he declare? Ei rupe nritya age hobe grame grame. In the same way, there'll be chanting and dancing of Harinam in every town and village in the world. When did he predict this? When Mahaprabhu was about to start the tour to South India. So, I will read purport to this verse, but before that I want to answer this key question. What is the question? Why did Mahaprabhu go alone? Ekaki Brahmi Ben Tirtha Vairagya Koriya. Why did he go alone? Why did Krishna leave Vrindavan apparently? Why did Lord Ramchandra leave association of Mother Sita? Just based on the comments of some washermen. So the answer is this. It's given in Madhya Leela. Mahaprabhu did not want his devotees to constantly feel pained by seeing him in sannyasi order of life, sannyas order of life. His devotees could not bear seeing Mahaprabhu with shaven head and in sannyas and following these strict rules and regulations of sannyas. And because it would pain his devotees, the only way he could stop them was by finding faults in them and telling them, I cannot be with you. But in reality, It was Mahaprabhu's love for them. So when there is tough love, it is tough, but it is love. That is why it's most difficult to take tough love. And that is the highest. Cheto darpana marjanam is the very first when your heart starts cleansing. But where does it end? What is the last verse of Shikshashtakam? Ashlishya means embrace. Padaratam pinashtu, which means you may crush me under your feet. Tough love. Still you will be my Lord, life after life. Na paraha. No one else will be my Lord, even if you mistreat me. This level of consciousness is very difficult. So, when we deal with our guru, Shiksha gurus, Diksha gurus, when we deal with senior Vaishnavas, when we deal with those in authority, it's tough. But they certainly have our best interest at heart. And Mahaprabhu tells us, teaches us, just like with Krishna, Krishna may be very hard on us. Actually, Giriraj Maharaj has written a book, Many Moons. In that, there is one devotee who was about to die of cancer. The devotee writes, "Thank you, cancer cells, for your tough love." I've read the book. Beautiful. So, sometimes Krishna can be hard on us. Yeah? But we dislike instructions and criticism, and we love praise and appreciation, and certainly power. Even if we are in the most humble of humble service, yeah. I was once doing a service with someone. We were collecting the cow dung in the goshala, and that lady was not from the. She's not like a frequent comer. She's probably not a practicing devotee, but she serves in the goshala. And I was picking up the cow dung and putting it from one place to another, which is, you know, it's cow dung. And she was saying, "No, you have to put it in a particular place, and the lumps have to be of a particular size, and they have to be all in a particular shape." And I thought, there's a beautiful science to this, maybe, I don't know. And when I spoke to the goshala in charge, he said, "No, just pile it all up." So, even a little service where you are an authority, we feel, "Oh, I am the commander. I am the temple president. I am the GBC. I am the something, you know. I am the pakoda das, samosa das." Because why? Because I am distributing samosas. Everyone wants samosas. Now I will be in charge to give samosas. Those who I know will get two. Those who I don't know will get one. Those who I definitely don't want to know will get a little piece. I am now samosa in charge. In reality, all the powers that we have, you know what these powers are? These are all borrowed powers. We borrow these powers from Krishna. Actually, nobody is interested in me. I've distributed so many books, but reality is, I distributed Krishna's books. And that is why I'm glorified. I personally have no capacity. It's all borrowed power. From the GBC down to the gobar collector, everything is borrowed power. You being a samosa das, it's Mahaprasad. That's why people are queuing up. You stand outside your house with samosas, nobody will look at you. But here, you have become authority for samosas because it is Krishna's power. We are all living on borrowed power. and we feel so proud. Oh, I'm a great speaker. You're a great speaker. Speak on the road. Nobody will look at you. Somebody will say, hey, get this man out. But you are sitting on Vyasasan because you are speaking Krishna's words. It's Krishna's power. This words of Krishna, the dancing and chanting of Mahaprabhu's movement will go everywhere. The purport is this, and I will stop there, and there's some very special announcement today. The purport to that verse is beautiful, and Prabhupada in this purport, he actually acknowledges that he says this movement has actually made this prediction come true. I'll read again the translation. Nityananda Prabhu is saying, upon seeing the chanting and dancing of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda predicted that later there would be dancing and chanting in every village. This is Madhya Leela 782, the same chapter. So, purport, this prediction of Sri Nityananda Prabhu's is applicable not only in India, but also all over the world. That is now happening by His grace. The members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness are now traveling from one village to another in the Western countries and are even carrying the deity with them. These devotees distribute various literatures all over the world. The most profound literature that Srila Prabhupada himself carried to the West was Srimad Bhagavatam. We hope that these devotees who are preaching the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will very seriously follow strictly in his footsteps. So distribution alone is not the end game. The end game is when one follows. And Prabhupada goes on to finish the purport by saying, if they follow the rules and regulations and chant 16 rounds daily, their endeavor to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will certainly be successful. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So, we see that the Lord and His devotees, they show us tough love like He's showing here. They find gune doshat gara chale. They find faults in our qualities seemingly. But it's all out of love. And when they do this, when Ramchandra banished Sita was banished. In the commentary it is written she was banished because Sita could not bear, if she was not banished, she could not have seen the face of Ramachandra constantly in anxiety of having heard these words of the washerman. Hence, she was banished. Mahaprabhu found faults in his devotees apparently because he knew they could not bear his sannyas, you know, seeing him in his sannyas dress. So, we stop here, but as we see, from this point on, Mahaprabhu goes to South India, and of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would have told him, go and see this Ramananda Rai. He's a beautiful person, wonderful devotee. He's a rasika. And he knows the heart of Krishna. So you must speak to him. And it is from this point that the movement of Mahaprabhu, the preaching movement, every town and village starts. And as Nityananda Prabhu has said, this prediction is very much coming true. Especially in this month of Bhadra. We had Bhadra Purnima, and as an offering to Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Manor, and all the devotees came together. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu is here, Divyanam Prabhu, and so many others, they came together to distribute Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Mahaprabhu's teachings, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And hundreds of Srimad Bhagavatam were distributed. So we have a special announcement. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, are you going to make the announcement? And we would like everyone, because it's an offering to Srila Prabhupada, we would like everyone to... would you like everyone to move forward, and everyone can stand up and move forward towards Prabhupada? And I'll finish my class officially here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaved bhaktvrinda ki jai.